The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, November 11th, 2022. I'm Mike Moen. Checking in on this week's midterm election results still being counted. Democrats maintained their narrow leads in Arizona races, but the races for U.S. Senate and governor were still too early to call with about a fifth of the total ballots left to be counted. Democratic Senator Mark Kelly led Republican Blake Masters by more than 5 percentage points, while Democrat Katie Hobbs had a much tighter lead against Republican Carrie Lake in the governor's race. Democrats also led in the races for Secretary of State and Attorney General. At stake are control of Congress and the rules for the 2024 presidential election in a crucial battleground state. Elsewhere in the elections, the long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were once again highlighted in this week's midterms. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked shouldn't give up in demanding solutions. Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election this week, but Republicans maintained a strong control over the legislature, falling just short of a supermajority. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says demanding change isn't about helping the other party, noting Illinois Democrats rely on a similar approach. He says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election in Wisconsin, with the hope that a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. Meanwhile, Heck says the fallout from the current maps reveal that some residents, mainly in urban areas, don't get as much state revenue as the smaller percentage of voters voting in the majority party. On the global front, Russia relinquished its final foothold in a major city in southern Ukraine today, allowing Ukrainian forces to move cautiously toward reclaiming the country's only Russian-occupied provincial capital in what could be a major morale-boosting victory. Russia's defense ministry said its troops finished withdrawing from the western bank of the river that divides the area in question at around 5 o'clock this morning. The area they left included the city of Kherson. Videos and photos circulating on social media showed local residents cheerfully taking to the streets and a Ukrainian flag flying over a monument in a central square for the first time since early March, when the city was seized by the Russians. And some footage showed crowds cheering on men in military uniform. This is PNS. Arizona school districts could face the tough challenge of having to cut about 18% of their current budgets, which amounts to a statewide total of more than $1.3 billion. Alex Gonzalez reports.
The cuts could be necessary if state lawmakers don't authorize lifting what's known as the Aggregate Expenditure Limit, or AEL, a spending limit for each school district based on the total education budget. According to Richie Taylor with the Arizona Department of Education, if the state legislature doesn't waive the cap, there could be serious implications for school districts.
It would result likely in layoffs, potentially in schools closing early, ending the school year early. I mean, it would be devastating for school districts across the state because there just aren't a lot of ways to cut that much of your budget with so little time in the school year remaining.
The AEL is a policy approved by voters in 1980, and the limits are adjusted annually. The legislature can't repeal it, but can waive the cap. The deadline for lawmakers to do that is March 1st. Taylor says many public educators are asking the governor to call a special session before the calendar year ends to resolve the issue. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
In Connecticut, residents there may be looking at higher water utility prices over the next 3 years. The state's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, or PURA, is considering a rate increase over 3 years from water company Aquarion. This could lead to increases of up to 27% for Connecticut residents overall. AARP Connecticut is among the groups voicing concerns. The group's John Erlinghuser says higher bills present challenges for people over 50 with limited incomes.
They're going to be hit with higher utility costs come January for electricity and natural gas. And when you start adding on water and then, as I said, all the other costs having to do with the daily life, you know, food, medicine, people are going to be put in that position of, do I not take medicine or do I pay my utility bills like water and heat?
Aquarion has said it's been 9 years since it had a rate increase. Today is Veterans Day, and the majority of atomic veterans who participated in America's nuclear bomb testing program between 1945 and 1962 are now gone. But one from Massachusetts is working to ensure that those who remain got the recognition they deserve. Catherine Carley reports.
The Atomic Veterans Commemorative Service Medal was created this year after veterans had worked for decades to lift the veil of secrecy surrounding their work at nuclear test sites in the U.S. and South Pacific. More than 400,000 servicemen were exposed to high levels of radiation, and many died of cancer. Retired Army First Lieutenant and Atomic Veteran Joe Mondello of Shrewsbury says the service medal is just a commemorative coin, and without a ribbon attached, Atomic veterans can't pin it to their uniforms.
Being at that site and those explosions, we should have all received a medal. You know, it's a disgrace.
Mondello thinks the remaining atomic veterans deserve a full medal ceremony in Washington, D.C. for the bravery they've shown and the sacrifices they and their families have made. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And I'm Mike Moen. That is the Public News Service Daily Newscast.